Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
There's an incredible boldness that would say, I'm going back to the place they just drug me out of because they stoned me there. Paul goes back in. We don't know why. Maybe he was thinking, I'm not going to let them remove me on their terms. I'm going to go back in and see what God does.
Paul is bringing the incredible message of the gospel to Jews and now to Gentiles. They are hearing for the first time that their sins can be forgiven because Jesus died and rose again. While many respond with moved hearts and are saved, some are angered. And we see Paul suffer the first of many violent attacks. But even coming to the point of near death does not discourage Paul from his God-given mission. With part two of our study in Acts chapter 14, 1 through 19, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Anybody being stoned would be awful. We don't find many of them in the Bible. We find that Stephen was the first person to ever be martyred, and he was stoned to death. Now, Paul is stoned here. Listen to what it says. It says, they stoned Paul and dragged him outside of the city, supposing him to be dead. Now, there is an argument among pastors, scholars, and theologians as to whether or not Paul died here. Can you ever imagine pastors, theologians, and scholars arguing about anything? That Paul died here or didn't die? Did he drag him out and God resurrect him, bring him back to life? Or did they drag him out and he was not dead and just survived? Well, the passage kind of helps us here. It says, supposing him to be dead. So they supposed him to be dead. But that doesn't really help us completely because they could suppose him to be dead, but he's really alive, or he could have been dead. Paul is going to write about this later. He's going to write about the stoning. Before we're done with our message, I'm going to read that to you, and I'm going to tell you why I believe God allowed Paul to be stoned. Because this is pretty brutal, right? God could have stopped it before it happened. But God let Paul go through it for a reason. So Paul says later on, I know a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows. So Paul basically says, was he dead or alive? I don't know. We're going to look back at that. But they supposing him to be dead, they drag him outside of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, the disciples gathered around him. Now picture that. I would love to be a director in a movie in the life of Paul and be able to bring these scenes to life. Paul has been stoned, which would have been brutal. Now they drag him outside of the city. He is supposed to be dead. All the new disciples, these have only been saved for the most a few weeks. And they surround Paul and they stare down at his body. And then it says, he arose and went back into the city. So as they're around his body, Paul puts one hand down, puts another hand down, and stands up, being bloody and bruised and beaten and swollen, and goes back into the city. Now, I don't know about you, but if that happened to me, the last place I would go is back into the city. Now, we're not told why Paul did it, but I can say this. I think it's incredibly bold. There's an incredible boldness that would say, I'm going back to the place they just drug me out of because they stoned me there. Paul goes back in. We don't know why. Maybe he was thinking, I'm not going to let them remove me on their terms. I'm going to go back in and see what God does. This, again, is the first time that Paul suffers, even though he was told at salvation, I have many things for you to suffer. This is the beginning of it, okay? And so he goes back into the city, and then he leaves the next day. It says, however, when the disciples got around and they went into the city, and the next day they departed from Barnabas to Derbe. So they left Iconium, people were murderous against them there, went to Lystra, where they tried to murder him there, and now they go to Derbe. These are three cities in this missionary journey in Galatia. And when they had preached the gospel in that city and made many disciples, again, they're successful, they returned to Lystra. Now Paul goes back to Lystra with Barnabas, where he had been stoned, Iconium and Antioch, where they had been kicked out of the region. And then it says, strengthening the souls of the disciples. So now they go back through to do new believers' work. The people had gotten saved the first sweep through, but now they come back to get them established within the kingdom. They strengthen the brethren, it says, the disciples, exhorting them to continue in faith. So continue trusting God and believing. The Bible says, that those who endure will be saved. And so they spoke to them of the importance of continuing, saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Paul lets them know, you guys are in for a difficult time. Same thing Jesus said when he said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, and rejoice when you're persecuted, which applies to us as well. But they lived in a distinct time. Why did they allow there to be so much persecution against Christians? Why wasn't there that much against Jews? There was persecution against Jews in Rome. I'm talking about Rome as a nation, as a worldwide power. There was persecution against Jews, but not as much as Christians. Why? Because Judaism was a sanctioned or a legal religion by Rome. It had been around a long time. Someone said that it was because Christianity was monotheistic and the Romans had a pantheon of gods that they persecuted Christians. But the Jews were monotheistic as well, and they didn't persecute them as much. Why? Because Christianity was new. It was novel. It was strange compared to anything that they had heard. And so they persecuted Christians, which they were allowed to do in the Roman Empire. You could only be a part of those religions that were sanctioned by Rome. And Christianity would not be sanctioned for 300 years. You may have heard someone say that Constantine, the emperor, made Christianity the religion of Rome. That's not true. He never did that. What he did do was sanction Christianity. He said it is legal to be a Christian now. That happened in 300. So everybody from the time Paul began preaching in the Roman Empire until 300 had to face persecution because they were part of an illegal religion in Rome. And that's why we read so much persecution through those 300 years. There were 10 different emperors that persecuted, starting with Nero, and Domitian was another one, all the way up into the worst persecution against Christians, which happened right before Constantine. The emperor before Constantine brought the worst persecution against Christians. So he's telling them it is through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom of God. So then in verse 23, so when they had appointed elders in every city, so now what are they doing? They're taking time to choose men who qualify as elders, and they're planting churches in every city. So they made elders in every church and prayed with fasting and commended them to the Lord, which in whom they had believed, which by the way, we all have to do. Paul and Barnabas are leaving Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And so he has to commend the believers to the Lord. When someone gets saved, we do what we can do, but we have to commend them to the Lord, saying, Lord, you started this. They got saved because of you, and you have to continue to do the work in their lives. We can only do so much. We do what we can do, and a good church will help establish people in Christ after they get saved, but you also have to commend them to the Lord, and that's exactly what they do. And then it says, and after they had passed through Pisidia and Pamphylia, now when they had preached the word in Pergama, they went down to Attaliah, and from there they sailed to Antioch. This is the Antioch that sent them out, where they had been commended by the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now, when they had come and gathered with the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. This is the first massive work of Gentiles getting saved. So they stayed for a long time with the disciples. So before they go out on their second missionary journey, they stay a long time in Antioch. Now, I'm done with the chapter, but I got a couple more things to share. First of all, Paul talks to the Galatians. When he writes the Galatians, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe are in the region of Galatia. When he writes the letter to the Galatians, he's very upset because legalists have come in and brought a false gospel, and the Galatians received it. And so Paul's really upset about it. And at the end of it, he says this to them after writing his letter against the legalists. This is Galatians 6:17. From now on, let no one trouble me. Paul says at the end of this letter, don't trouble me anymore, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. What did he mean by that to the Galatians? I believe he meant, I've been beaten, I've been stoned, I've been scourged. I bear the scars of Christ. It is because of Jesus that I've gone through these things. In Corinthians, Paul gives a list of the things that he went through. God said to him when he got saved, I have many things for you to suffer. Now, at the end of his ministry, he gives this list in Corinth. And there are, again, false teachers in Corinth, and he's fighting against these false teachers. And so he brings up this list of things that have happened to him. Here's what he says. This is 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. Are they ministers of Christ, these false teachers? Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often, meaning that he was close to death often. From the Jews, 5 times, I received 40 stripes minus one. That's being scourged. Jesus was scourged before he was crucified. Paul was scourged 5 times. He goes on to say, 3 times, I was beaten with rods. That was a public flogging. They would stretch them out on the ground, face down, and then guards or soldiers would take rods and beat them until they were bloodied and bruised, and this was an open public flogging. So 3 times he had been beaten with rods. He says, once I was stoned. We now know that account. We know the story where he says, I was stoned. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and the day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils from the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleepiness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides all of these things which come upon me, my deep concern for all of the churches. And so God really does have a lot for Paul to suffer. And as you make your way through the book of Acts and you get to the end of the ministry of Paul, you realize he's at a point where he no longer wants to be hurt. I can see him getting there. In Corinth, there starts to be opposition building up in Corinth. This is near the end of his third missionary journey. And as this opposition builds up, Paul gets antsy. Paul's like, I've seen this movie before. I know what happens. I end up getting hurt. And so Paul wants to leave Corinth. But the Bible says that Jesus came and stood by him. Jesus actually stood by Paul and said to him, I want you to remain in Corinth. As long as you are here, you will not be hurt. Now, if I were Paul, I'd be like, this is where I'm retiring. This is where I'm dying. As long as I'm here, I'm not gonna be hurt anymore. I've been hurt enough. So Paul is kind of like, I think in Corinth, he's kind of done. He's like, I don't wanna be hurt anymore. I don't wanna be flogged or beaten or scourged or stoned anymore. From there, he is compelled to go to Jerusalem. From there, he will be arrested and taken to Rome. We're gonna follow all of that in the book of Acts. But when he's arrested in Jerusalem, there is an uprising in the temple because of Paul, shocking. And Paul is arrested by a centurion. Really, he's arrested for his own protection. And he asks Paul, what's going on? And Paul doesn't tell him. And so he says to the soldier who's next to him, the centurion, beat him, meaning openly flog him with rods. And Paul says to this Roman centurion, are you gonna beat a Roman citizen? Paul falls back on his Roman citizenship. Now, he's been a Roman citizen all along. He's being beaten in Roman provinces and never, as far as we know, has appealed to his Roman citizenship, but he does it here. And the centurion says, well, I purchased my Roman citizenship. And Paul says, I was born a Roman citizen. And so they don't beat him. Instead, they take him under protective custody and they take him to Caesarea where he appeals to Caesar and eventually is put in prison and eventually killed by Nero in Rome. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. Now, why would God allow Paul to go through all of these struggles? And why would God allow Paul to be stoned? I think I have the answer to that. And I think we find it in 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 4. Paul says this, and he's talking about himself here. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. Now, when he says, I know a man in Christ, this is the way they wrote about themselves. They would never say, I, 14 years ago, remember when John writes the book of John? He doesn't ever say, I, John, I, the author. He says, the one Jesus loved. So they referred to themselves in different ways. They didn't refer to themselves as I. And so Paul says, I knew a man, he's talking about himself, 14 years ago. Well, this is 2 Corinthians near the end of his third missionary journey. You go back 14 years ago, he's in the middle of his first missionary journey where he is stoned. So he's talking about being stoned, being drug outside the city and left for dead. I know a man in Christ 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows. So he's saying, I don't know whether I was dead or alive. God knows whether I was dead or alive. Such a one was caught up into the third heavens. Now, the first heaven is the sky where birds fly. The second heaven is outer space. And the third heaven is God's throne. And so Paul is caught up into God's throne. He's able to see heaven. Now, there are a lot of best-selling books about people that say they have trips to heaven. I'm always skeptical about those books, by the way. And if you're a person that likes to read them and believe them, I'm not saying you're bad. I'm simply saying I'm skeptical. Last night after a service, a gal said to me, maybe you're skeptical because as a pastor, you need to be to make sure you hang on to the truth. Because she said, I love these books. They're all the same to me. They're like this. When I was taken up into heaven, I saw things that are really hard to explain. Of course they are. It's heaven. Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love him. So we just can't grasp it. It says the Spirit is revealing these things, but then they go, and the sky, oh, the sky. I looked at the sky. I could have spent 5,000 years looking at the sky because that's the kind of things they say. And I go, I roll my eyes when I'm reading it. Oh, stop it. Stop this stuff. So I'm skeptical about it. But Paul says, I was taken up into the third heavens. So Paul did go there. So maybe God could take people. I'm not saying it could never happen. I'm just saying I get tired of these accounts. That's all. All right. So Paul goes on. He says he was caught up in the third heaven. Then he says, I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. Again, he's saying, dead or alive, I don't know. He was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. This word unlawful could also mean impossible. He says, it's impossible for me to tell you the things that I heard. He was actually taken up into heaven when he was stoned. Now, this is the same guy who wrote, I am persuaded that the sufferings of this world cannot be compared to the glories that will be revealed in us. How did Paul know that? Because the first time he faced physical suffering, he is at the brink of death, and God brings him up into the third heavens and gives him a glimpse of heaven. Yes, Paul, you will suffer, but I have this for you. And now we have this same Paul who experienced that telling us, I am persuaded the suffering you go through is not compared to the glory that will be revealed in you. Now, I don't know whether you're going through trouble right now. I don't know whether you're going through difficulties, if it's a particularly hard time in your life, but I do know we all go through it. We all have those times that we face them. There are good seasons in our life and there are difficult seasons in our life. And if you are in a difficult season, then I hope this ministers to you that even in the struggles and the difficulties that you're going through, and maybe even saying, why would God allow me to go through this? We all say that when we face the dark days of our lives, when the winter seasons come, we say those kind of things. And God would say the echoing words of Paul, I am persuaded that the sufferings of this world are not to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. And that God will use the things we go through for his glory. Just as God used what Paul went through here. And whatever sufferings you go through, God will be with you there. So this is the time when Paul got stoned. Why he got stoned is because God was going to reveal to him all the suffering that he would go through. But it was only a season and God would take him through it. Now, three things in closing. Number one, in fulfilling the call of Christ, the race you run, you're going to have difficulties. Don't be shocked. Peter said this. He said, don't be surprised when fiery trials come upon you. You have a race to run. I have a race to run. Every one of us here has a call by God. Every one of us here is light and salt. There's none of us here that can say, not me. I'm a Christian, but I don't have a calling. God's not using me. God doesn't want me to be a witness. Nope. Every Christian is. In fact, the job of the pastor, remember what the Bible says? That the pastor teacher is a gift to the body to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. My job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. That's what we as pastors are supposed to do. Now, number two, faith is the way we receive from God, whatever he does for us. Do you believe that God's ways are better than yours? Do you believe what the Bible says about how to live? Because that's faith. And we receive what God has for us by living for him. Number three, may God give you the boldness of Paul, who after being stoned went back into the city where it happened. Remember, they drug him out of the city. He goes back into that city. And may there be boldness despite the fact that people's minds have been poisoned, despite the fact that people will think that you are weak because you're a Christian, may you stand boldly for Christ because it is the truth, and Jesus boldly gave his life on the cross so that you could be saved. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time that we're able to spend here today in your word. What a blessing for us to be able to see this first time that Paul suffered and to know that you brought him up into heaven and showed him what glory would be like. And he didn't express that to us. He didn't tell us what it's like. He said it's inexpressible. It would be illegal to do it. Lord, we pray that you would help us, that we would be bold for you. We know we have a call. We know that we are living our lives so people can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we pray that we would be bold witnesses for you in each one of our lives. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you may think, I don't need to give my life to Christ. I go to church. Going to church can't save you. Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Think about that. You may call him Lord, but do you really genuinely have a relationship with him? Do you really know him? You have to say, Lord, I want you in my life, and invite Christ in. So the Bible says in John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. If you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ, then I'm going to ask you to do something bold. You're ready to now live for him. I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand up. God bless you under the balcony there. And God bless you as well. That's awesome. Both of you guys there. Out in the pavilion, God bless you. God bless you back over here. That's great, ma'am. Thank you. God's got a plan for you guys. God's got a purpose. God bless you all the way over to my right. That's awesome. God bless you, ma'am. Back over to the left. That's great. Anyone else? All right. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin can separate me from you. But I also understand that I'm forgiven by the death of Christ on the cross. So I invite you, Jesus, into my life. I turn from my sin that I can be a disciple, that I can be a follower of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's awesome.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.